All right, game three tonight from Denver. It is the Flames and the Avs locked up at a game apiece. Let's take a little gander down the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline. The Grey Eagle reminding you can join them for all the playoff action, including half-price wings. You could also win incredible prizes, including hockey tickets and a grand prize of $10,000. Dan Murphy covering this series for Sportsnet in Denver. Dan, how's it been? Couple games, two foes that you see a bit throughout the course of the regular season being based out of Vancouver, but here we are. Into a best of seven, split a game apiece.
Yeah, I think it's been good. I mean, the Avs have been a little bit better than I expected them to be. I think in Calgary, you'd probably say they dictated play for five of the six periods. I think the Flames' best was the overtime in game number two. That's where we saw them play their best, and yet they still lost. So I just still believe that the Flames can get at that Avs defense somehow. Haven't seen the sustained pressure I'd like from Calgary, but I think they should be able to, you know, it's just not a real intimidating blue line to me. And I think with Calgary's depth, I'd just like to see you get a little more pressure and a little more offensive success.
What's the mood? A lot of Cale Makar talk all of a sudden. As someone has not taken part in the series, the star of the show, apparently.
Yeah, so the room opens today, Colorado's, and first off, there's a lot more media down there than they're used to. The locals were laughing. But right away, all the media swarms to his locker. So it's 3-4 deep around there. I don't know, maybe 30-35 people around there with the cameras trying to get their spot. And he's not even in the room yet. Like, it's the semicircle is formed, and he's not there yet. And I look across the room, and Nathan MacKinnon is, like, talking to two scribes, you know. So it was bizarre. But they're really, really looking forward to this kid's debut, and I mean, why not? Fantastic collegiate career, left early, obviously. Coming off the Hobie Baker, another finalist in the national championship game, and by all accounts, he's just a stud. I'm not sure if they would have played him. I think they likely would have if Samuel Girard didn't get hurt. Maybe he would have gotten 11 and 7D. But now they got to throw the kid into the fire. And the coach said he'll start him with Nemeth, but he's going to move him around to give him the best chance of success. So to me that means if he looks good, they're going to move him up in the lineup right away, because losing Girard is a big deal to that team and a big deal to Eric Johnson on the top D pairing.
Yeah, and that skill set more similar to Girard's than Ian Cole's is. All the experience, yeah. And you know, all that aside, if you want a puck mover who can really skate, that's Makar, not Cole, right?
That's right, and I think, like, I mean, it would go back to the Vancouver thing in the draft. I think the only player the Canucks had rated higher than Pedersen was Makar. I think that, like, if they had won the lottery, Makar was their guy and Pedersen was number two. So I think he's a real, you know, highly sought after D-man. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing him play tonight. I hope he gets more than like 8 or 9 minutes. I hope we get to see him in the 12 to 15 minute range because I think he's just a real talent.
Fair or not, reputations seem to be cemented in the postseason and or, you know, just that's how we remember a guy. For mm-hmm. for Flames fans, the perfect example is like Michael Nylander, William's dad. I was like, oh, sure, he had 80-point regular seasons, but it was the Houdini act in the spring every year, and that's the first thing that comes up when someone mentions his name usually. What, anything that you've seen, albeit very early, that changes the way you viewed a player, or at least contrasts with your beliefs coming in?
Well, I mean, in the bottom line business, I'll go with, you know, both teams. I mean, we were an overtime away from, I guess we say the big four now with Colorado. We'll throw Rantanen and Kerfoot in there because he's playing on the top line. With no bottom line, it could have been goalless among the four after two games. And yet they have looked dominant mostly, almost every shift. So that could have been relatively disastrous for that group had they not tied it late. And then scored the goal in overtime. For the, you know, I can't say anything that Calgary fans have said more. I thought Brody looked a little uncomfortable after a mistake early in the game, and I thought it just deteriorated for him in that regard in games two. But I did think, and the big questions going into that in game two were the top line, and I did see much more from Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan, so I think they might be waking out of their slumber. Finally, I mean, for me, Mike Smith's been a revelation. You know, that was, from an outsider coming to the series, that was my number one question. are they starting the right guy, and does Mike Smith have what it takes once they decided to start him? And, I mean, he might be, probably is, the best player on the ice for both teams through two games.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's not the storyline we saw coming when, you know, he's midway through the year and a save percentage under .890, but it's incredible. And, yeah, we didn't see that one coming. I thought Grubauer was really good in game two as well after a fine, like, just, yeah, no problem in game one, but really took some stuff away. I think the Tkachuk play with a minute left gets a little bit overlooked because of the timing and overtime loomed and, you know, the empty net goal behind Colorado when they tie it. But, boy, he's close to scoring there. Grubauer makes a great save.
Yeah, there. And then also, it was Frolik, right, in the overtime as well. The bang-bang play before the goal was scored. And you know, you have to wonder, you know, what he was thinking heading into these playoffs, because, of course, he got the start last season with Washington, got pulled in the second game and never got a look as the team, another look as the team went on to the Cup Final. So those thoughts had to be swirling in his head as well. Although, you know, he was the much better goaltender down the stretch for Colorado. There was no question that he wasn't going to be the guy, that he was going to be the guy, I mean. And so I think that mentally, you know, he would have had to talk himself up into this series. And I agree with you. I think he looked better in game two than he did in game one. And that's probably great for his mind.
Any doubting the superstardom of Nathan MacKinnon after watching him for two games? I know you noted the goals weren't there, but just electric. Yeah. And I thought in game two he took it over. As good as Colorado was, he was one of the biggest reasons, if not the, that they held the puck a ton and created scoring chances and then, of course, actually winning the thing.
Yeah, but last season and all the games I watched and the games I covered, which was, I think I did, in the regular season anyway, 75 games or so, he had the biggest standout performance I thought. I think it was a game he had 19 shot attempts, a goal, a couple of assists. He was just unbelievable in a game flying around. And yeah, I mean, what were they? In game two, plus 17 shot attempts, 5-on-5 with him on the ice, the speed, the release. I just think he's just such a dynamic player, and he works very well, whether it's, you know, pick your poison, Kerfoot or Rantanen on that wing, and Landeskog as the other line mate. They do get the cycle going, and that's going to be the key to Calgary, to seal those lanes, make sure they keep them up to the outside. But they do get inside. They do get shots from the slot. They do win not only the race with the puck, but the puck battles. And, you know, Calgary's going to have to find a way to at least limit that zone time against that line if they are going to move on to round two. Because, again, I thought that the key for Calgary was kind of, you know, wash out with the line, the top lines, the big threes, see if they can match that, and they would run away with the series because their depth is far superior. But right now Colorado's top line is not the bottom line at this point. I mean, both lines have scored a goal. But if things go like this for another, what, 4 or 5 games, I think you'd have to say that Calgary would be in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. It's not certainly played out the way I think many thought when you look at the point discrepancy in the standings, but it's weird. Like, as you alluded to, the biggest question mark around the Flames has been their strongest, which is what kind of net mining were they going to get? Who is going to be in there at the end of the series, never mind the start? And the Avs' power play was their great strength coming in along with Grubauer, and Grubauer's been fine, and the power play has been dead silent. So this is just classic playoffs. I mean, throw the script away and, you know, one game in, two games in, three games in, it's entirely different talking points, it feels like.
Well, and it's always that way, right? I mean, you never, in hockey, it's probably the worst sport of the Big Four to bet the favorite in the playoffs. And you look at Columbus, what they're doing to Tampa Bay, and then imagine, and that's much different scenario, but St. Louis had a chance to go up 3-0 on Winnipeg. It's just things just go kind of bizarre in the playoffs. You can run in a hot goalie, and that could be it for your team after a great season. You know, as you mentioned, you cement your legacies in the playoffs, and if you can get if someone on Calgary, and I look at the second line being so valuable, but I think it would be someone from the third line, like Jankowski or Neal kind of stepping up finally, or Bennett. If you could get something out of that line, that could be the big difference in this series.
Dan, good stuff. Enjoy it. Hope you caught Tiger yesterday and enjoyed that. This has been one of the greater weekends in sport to just
watch
sit back. And
Watch it on the Masters website on the plane. It was streaming pretty well.
Nice.
But I didn't get to see 18 or the walk from the green to the clubhouse until I got back to the hotel. And I'm not the biggest Tiger fan. I like when he's in contention. But, you know, that 3-4 minutes of him walking up after hugging his kids was something really, really special to watch, I think.
Enjoy tonight. We'll see you Friday.
All right. Take care. Bye, Ryan.
Dan Murphy joining us on the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline.